What's the general word we're using?
Generous.
What does that begin with?
G.
And what do we say for G?
Growing.
Now, what is growing the Church of Jesus Christ? What does it say and what does it not say? What's going to grow? What are we hoping to grow? So it's not specific, actually, that as it's an aim to grow in grace, to grow in faith, to grow in service, and to grow in number. And what is to grow in faith and number and service and those things? No, what?
The church.
The church. Yeah. What is the Church of Jesus Christ?
People.
It is people. Where is the Church of Jesus Christ? Right. So it's specifically... It's not specifically that one, growing Christ Church Hayward Heath. It's about our aim for the church to grow, as we've seen from the book of Acts. It can grow all over the place as God works. So that's what it's saying and that's what it's not saying. So what is the E? I must admit I get muddled with the E's because we've got two E's, so it's always a bit tricky.
Equipping
who? Who are the saints? What's another word for saint? No, another word that's closer to saint. But Christian is another way of describing saint.
Holy.
Set apart, holy. That's the idea of a saint. It's not someone who's been recognised by the Pope. But we're still hopeful. There'll be, you know, can you imagine like St. Graham's Church? They'll be like, St. Graham's Church? Who's ever heard of a saint called Graham? You know, they always have sort of like posh Latin names, don't they? Anyway, Graham's some kind of Scottish mangled name. It means a gravelly pit. Equipping the saints to serve. And that's really important because it's not just equipping the saints to be clever. It's equipping them to be active. Next word. Sorry, this is supposed to be the short part, so I'll speed up. Next part.
Networking
with who? Gospel partners. So it could be local churches, it could be churches abroad. Next one. Engaging with. And what kind of things does it include, as well as outreachy things like the cafe? Brilliant. What's the R stand for? And the O? This was the hardest one, because it's hard to get something beginning with O. And U? And prayer and sending gospel workers. Right. Now we're going to focus on a few things that come out of that. We've got limited resources. We recognize that we don't know how God's going to work through us and in us. But we have to make some plans and provide some kind of focus. So I'm going to talk about five things which we're calling gospel ambitions. They're not all we want to do, but we recognize we can't do everything. If you take every idea, it's like any kind of brainstorming session. You have to kind of distill those. We're not having posters made up for these because they may refine and change as we kind of listen and develop. But they're our kind of first stabs. Sounds like it's really crude and unthought about, but they're our kind of gathering of some thoughts about some specific things to aim for. But they're not saying we're ignoring everything else that we've said, but they're just the five things to try and sort of capture some aims. We believe that they're Christ-honoring aims, and we've tried to kind of simplify how we put them. It might be worth just kind of addressing the question before we look at any of them, that is it godly? Is it biblical? Is it Christ-like? Is it Christian to even have aims? Clearly, from the sermon last night in Acts chapter 16, where Paul ends up in Philippi, but is thwarted from going various other places, clearly Paul had a plan of where he wanted to go, and clearly God changed that plan. At other times, Paul was able to go where he wanted to go, so he made plans and he tried to execute on those plans. He had strategies. Sometimes he followed through on those strategies, and sometimes he wasn't able to do that. God prevented it in a very direct way or an indirect way that it just didn't work out. He was held back. So absolutely, as we talk about these five things, and you don't have to remember these five things in the same way, but we're going to talk about just five aims. Absolutely, we recognize that God can change those completely. So our commitment to them is not that these must happen as some kind of measure of success, but they're a commitment of trying to distill our thoughts and our leadership at this point and where we think God is leading us. If you think about specific plans to growth, then as we were hearing last night, it's not as though the apostles sat down and thought, let's have another 3,000 people in the church. That's our goal. And wow, we've hit it in one day. What should we do now? It wasn't like that. But on the other hand, if you think about what Ray Evans was saying later about who could you pass the communion cup to, that is quite specific. And I was thinking about families. And think about your families and your children in particular. If you got three children like I had, you know, how many people do you pray would be saved?
Three.
How many people are your family, not in the world? You pray for three people. You pray for three specific people. And you don't just pray in general, Lord, save some people in my life. I'd like it if some children related to me might be saved. I pray for success. Now, you might pray all of those things, success of the gospel and so forth, but you pray for three people that you love because they're closest to you. They're the ones that God has put in your way. And so numbers then become personal to you and realistic, but very specific as well. Certainly in the Bible, it's clear that we make plans. We don't just vaguely sort of go ahead assuming God will just kind of sort it out in the end. So I think where plans help is that they make specific and personal that general aim that we should all have for the kingdom of God to grow in maturity and in number. So we have that general aim, but we personalize it. We personalize it in our family. But we think as leaders, it's also right to personalize it within the church as well and to kind of try and scale it within the church. Not that we control it, but that's how we're trying to direct our actions. You see, having ambitions like that, they're helpful in shaping our action, especially when enthusiasm wanes, when we kind of lose our way a bit. You know, we can think about, as we'll think about a little bit later, sending gospel workers into the world. And, you know, if 3 years have gone by and none have been sent, if there wasn't any kind of aim, we can think, that's all right. We'll just wait, and after 10 years, if nobody's gone, that's fine. But if you at least have, say, I'd really like to do this, then there is some degree of accountability and shaping prayers and shaping actions over that time. So that's why we've decided to have these particular gospel-shaped ambitions. We recognize that only God gives growth. We recognize that if there is growth, it won't be that we can congratulate ourselves. But it is a way of expressing our desire, the desire of our hearts to see our friends, to see our family in the church alongside us. It's a way of focusing our prayers specifically rather than generally. It's a challenge to us, particularly as we're in a larger church. It's very easy to think everything's fine. But if you have a challenge ahead of you to say this is what we'd like to see under God, even for a large church, it makes you think, we need to reach, we need to stretch, rather than we're fine where we are. It's a challenge, particularly in terms of growth of the church that we're thinking about first. It's a challenge to make us think, what could we do that we're not currently doing to reach people for Jesus? And it's a way of planning for resources and facilities. Okay, with that background in mind, let's work through. I'll list them all and then we'll come back and work through them one by one. So the five things that we want to have as our aims for the next 10 years. Trusting the Lord to, sorry, I haven't got them written down here, so I have to look back this way. Trusting the Lord to double the church membership with many conversions. Establishing new ministries in villages currently without gospel witness in our locality. Developing generous resourcing strategies for other gospel churches in our region. Plant a church in Crawley, Brighton or elsewhere in partnership with other churches and commission 5 full-time gospel workers to the UK and worldwide. That's what we'd love to do under God. We know only God can make this happen, but that's what we'd like to direct the church towards. So let's think about those one by one. First of all, trusting the Lord to double the church membership with many conversions. Because, of course, we could be doubled just with people coming to join us from other churches. There's two things to say about that, apart from all the general things about how it shapes our prayers and actions and so forth. One is, what we're saying in this is that we're recognising what God is already doing, as well as seeking to commit to working together in the future towards this as a goal. It's not as though the church is flat and we're saying, okay, we need this to change in this way. Part of what we're doing is just recognising God at work already. The church has grown significantly. In the time, the last 20 years, it's doubled in size. But particularly in the last few years, if you just look at a graph, then it has grown significantly. So we're recognising in part what God is already doing, and we're seeking to in a way, get on board with that, get involved with that, and trying to give that some number and some shape. So that's one thing to say about it. We're recognising what God's already doing. But also in terms of doubling the church, it's not just about an arbitrary number. It was just trying to personalise it down to thinking. You know, there's 140 people in the church. We're just asking you to think perhaps of one person in your life that you'd love to see come to faith in the next 10 years. That's what doubling the church is. There'll be some other people who join, and there'll be some other people who leave and other people who die. But if just one person in your life comes to faith, then that's a doubling of the size of the church. And that's what we want you to commit to think about, to work towards, to pray about. And what we'd like you to do in that is to think, well, how could that be achieved? What would that mean? What would that mean for action? What would that mean for kind of implications? What we're going to do as we go through these five is not to get you to break up all in the little groups, but to just have a little chat with a neighbour or two about, again, does that sound like a good ambition? What's any actions or implications or cry for help in that? Okay? So just for a few minutes right now, have a chat with your neighbour. What do we think about this? What are the outcomes, actions, implications? Go. Okay, as we keep saying, if there's anything you want to write up on any of those boards, do. We've got the Q&A session tomorrow morning, so if there's any questions that don't get answered right now, write them down in the back of your book and raise them tomorrow morning. Nigel's leading that session first thing tomorrow morning, before the kind of preaching service a bit later tomorrow morning. Okay. What do you think about that as an ambition?
Yeah. We had a good short conversation to say, taking that to a much more personal level and recasting it a little bit to say, trusting the Lord to answer my prayer, that the person I'm really praying for, that I would like to be able to, in 10 years' time, share the communion table with, to come to faith, and therefore,
once
that prayer, the church will double in that same period. Does that mean?
Yes.
It makes it much more personal.
Yeah.
And I think we found as a little group that to be a much more challenging idea. And in fact, what came out of that was, that's not very ambitious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, saying double the church sounds very kind of ambitious in the sense that, boy, twice the size, and have been twice the size. So maybe that's helpful.
Yeah, no, it is. Definitely. So, triple the church. Just quickly moving on. Any kind of issues that come out of that? Anything that suddenly worries you about that? Or Ali wants to say something.
No, I don't. Claire would like me to say.
Well, say it on her behalf.
Well, it was to do with me. In our old church...
Can you shout out, please?
I'll repeat it for you. But she can shout as well. I understand that you can shout, possibly.
Yeah, but we have evidence.
Anyway,
back at our church in Camberwell, we were always kind of led to say we don't put any limits on God, you know. And in this way, no, obviously we're not putting a limit, but to kind of set a number, it just made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah. And what Les has just said sounds really good, and also making it more personal and just sort of praying that, you know, there'll be an increasing number of people coming to faith, but not necessarily it has to be a set number.
Sure. No, that's helpful. And
says if it doesn't double, are you going to put your faith?
Well, that is what I tried to say earlier, that you make your ambitions. You can fire us at any time. But the point of an ambition is not to say I have the power to deliver on this. It's to say this is what we see God working towards, what seems to be happening in the church at the moment, and what, as we've said in personal terms, we'd love to see. So we may have failed if it doesn't happen, but it's not because we would have failed to double the church. It may have been that we failed to be faithful, or we failed to outreach, or we failed. So there may have been things we can reflect on and say we didn't do something we could have done, but to achieve the number is not really a sense of failure, because we're not running a business like that. Anyway, I could get into business philosophy as to whether business targets are like that. I just want to say one thing to answer Ali before I answer you, Amanda, is that I do want to repeat what we're trying to say is we are seeing how God already is working, and we're absolutely not trying to put a limit on it, but we're trying to scale it in some way that we at least focus our prayers and our actions, and we think about some of the implications. So we could say, let's ignore the fact that the church is growing, and let's ignore the fact that there's gospel need, and we'll just see what happens. But we're trying to say, what would focus our actions in prayer and outreach, and what would inform us in how we develop facilities, how we think about pastoral care in a bigger church, and let's put some kind of number on it, so at least we can plan, because we think that's responsible. You know, how big a building do we need for 300 people, 300 members, bigger than we've got currently? We could plan, as we said earlier, to have planted a church, in which case we wouldn't need any bigger facilities. So we've had to make those decisions and then try and put some number on it. We messed around with words like, is ambition a good word? Is goal not a very good word? We thought, an aim which is much more kind of business orientated and specific. We very specifically used the word ambition because it's softer and more recognises a direction than a very, very specific, like a goal would be in a sort of business or something. So that's the beginning of an answer, but I think there could be longer answers.
So Graham, just on that, yeah. It's also a Bible word.
Yeah.
So Paul makes it his ambition.
Yeah.
It's the gospel, where it's not increased.
Yeah, thank you. It's also a Bible word. Right. Yeah.
If we think about it and we say that we have, you know, double, and then you talk about failing because it's not double, that I that sits uncomfortably with me, because God is in control, and I think that it's not a failure, because there's rejoicing in heaven when one person's converted. So I think in to say, trusting the Lord to increase the church membership with many conversions is fine. If you set a number by doubling it, I personally think that then that just feels that everyone's like, well, there's a sense of failure, and actually I think the Lord is in control of how big our church is, the Lord is in control of how many people are converted, and there is rejoicing. If in the next 10 years it's only 5, there's still going to be rejoicing in those 5.
Absolutely, but bear in mind I didn't use the word failure, and it's how you interpret what happens. I wanted my 3 kids to come to faith. It wouldn't have been a failure if they hadn't. It wouldn't have been a failure. There may have been things to reflect on and so forth. But I wanted 3 of my kids, not 1 of my kids. It was specific, but it's not a failure. It's how you interpret what happens. So I take the point, though. And, you know, we consider it, because I don't want to argue backwards and forwards about whether double is the right thing. But I take the point. But I think introducing the idea of failure is something that we're not introducing.
So you did say earlier in your comment, you did say, well, maybe there'll be a sense of a failure and we have to reflect on it. That's the only reason I spoke
Yeah, I think I was trying to say there may be some, a bit like with our own parenting. Of course, if none of your children come to faith, you don't just say, you know, it's entirely in God's sovereign plan. There's nothing to think about. You may think about it and think, I've tried to honour the Lord, and this is where we are at this point in time. There may be, I was just trying to allow for that fact that there may be some reflection, inevitably, but it's different to saying, I have failed as a parent or a church leader or a church member. I may just, whatever the word is, dig a hole if I go any further. So I think it's probably better just to move on, because you're then kind of going on about one subject too much and saying too much. Yes? Can I let Matthew go first, because he had his hand up before? No, I don't. It's cool.
It's full on that way that this sort of thing. I think that the uncomfortable thing is it's the sort of result of the behaviour of the church. We're making the ambition. Whereas Paul's ambition is to preach the gospel. Our ambition as a church should be to see many people come to faith. And then it's God's blessing of that through His Holy Spirit. Well, it's like, you could double the church, or triple, or quadruple, or whatever.
Sure.
Or create 10 churches. So it's very difficult to talk, because we want to have a sort of thing we're looking forward to, but actually what we're saying is we should make it our ambition to behave as a church in a way that could allow God to grow our church greatly, because that means conversions. And I think that's what you're asking. What would it mean if our church doubled? It would mean that we are definitely evangelizing, especially to that one person, maybe more. But even more importantly, it would be that our church is preparing for growth, which means we all take it seriously, that we need to be discipling many more people, and they need to be growing rapidly in the church, so that they're not, the weeds of the world don't grow up around them, but they are firm in soil. And so that should be our ambition, actually, and the result may well be doubling of the church, but that's a very complex goal to put forward. So that, I think that's probably the difficulty,
yeah,
how we look at it.
Nope.
Really, our ambition is to honour God by, you know, evangelizing and being an amazing witness in the world. That should be our ambition personally. And as a church, it should be that we're a place where people can grow in Christ. So
I'm going to let Nick speak, and then I'm going to allow this to sink in a little bit for you. All, not what Nick says, but the whole discussion.
I think all this discussion is extremely helpful and healthy, because it makes us think about what God does and what our responsibilities are. And, of course, no conversion, not even a single conversion, is in our gift. Our responsibility is to witness that the Lord has to our number. But just in terms of this as a, for a moment, just think of it as a planning ambition, and think about alternatives that would still include many conversions. Okay? So another alternative would be, we want to pray, trust the Lord for many conversions, and as soon as the Lord has added 20 people to our number, we're going to plant a church. Okay? So that means that the membership of the church does not increase apart from for a brief period of time. Yeah? Which would, that would be a quite legitimate strategy that you might follow, to say, every time we've increased by 20, we're going to plant, so we never grow. It can only happen if we trust, if the Lord is at work, and there are many, many conversions for that to go on happening. But that's just a different strategy to actually saying, as the Lord adds to our number, we're looking towards a doubling of the membership, not necessarily capping it at the level we're at by repeatedly planting. That is not inconsistent also with, in that process, planting from time to time. But I think that, for me, that just helps to see why you need to begin to think about the numbers that you're planning for and the strategy that you're following. Because we are at a point where we have to think, are we heading towards and taking decisions which would allow for us to grow bigger as a church? Or is it a different sort of strategy? And that's where you have to begin to think about the numbers that you're praying for, you're planning for. And in either case, whether you have a number there or not, you're seeking the Lord for many conversions, because that's what the gospel is all about, and you're trusting Him for many conversions, knowing that we cannot make it happen, but we do have a responsibility to be faithful. And if there is failure, it's only about a failure in our faithfulness. It's not about any failure in terms of numbers and results, because the results are not in our hands, it's God who gives the growth. Is that helpful?
Sure it is. Thank you. We're going to move on. We recognise that would be an issue for people to think about. So are you pointing, Les? Oh, sorry, Bethan. Yes, thank you.
My immediate issues were from a more personal point of view, and the more I'm listening to you, the more I'm thinking maybe I heard this wrong. But when you initially said the person that we're thinking about that we'd love to see come to faith and what actions we could put in place, I thought I would be in danger, possibly, of taking a person and making them my project.
Yeah.
It was like I could be praying for this person for 10 years, absolutely. But it probably is in God's plan to use other people to bring them to faith, and actually I would be involved in the journeys of different people to faith. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And
you're a bit uncomfortable focusing in on one person.
Yeah, and that's a helpful clarification, actually. The reason I said about thinking about one person in your life seeing come to faith wasn't that's the instruction now, everyone's got to find one person and convert them. It was more trying to give it a scale and a personalization that down to make you think, oh, that's not so unreasonable. A bit as Les was expanding on in terms of, you know, thinking about one person in your life, wouldn't that be a good ambition? So it was more to give it scale and sort of reasonableness rather than to say, here's the instruction, think about one person and that's your project. So I'm sorry if it came over in that way. So it's helpful to clarify that. Let's think of the others. There'll be lots of time to chat. Prayer outreach and facilities we need to think about as an outcome of that. Point number two, establish new ministries in village currently without gospel witness in our locality. It didn't seem right to us when we looked at the options and when we chatted with the FIEC. It didn't seem right to plant in villages for lots of reasons to do with size and how village churches work and how villages work. So that's not what we're suggesting to do, but we are suggesting to move forward what we kind of talked about a bit over the years, but we're trying to kind of make it an actual specific aim to start some or other ministry in the villages where some of you live. It could be that you start something very familiar, like a toddler group, familiar to us like we do it already, like a toddler group or a Christianity Explained course or some kind of outreach work into the neighbourhood. It could be something, you might say, a little bit more innovative, like you start a cafe church in one of the villages if there's a kind of a meeting hall that works for that, or some kind of public meeting thing once a month, or you start writing for the local paper. Or you invent a local paper or a local blog for that village which has some kind of Christian content in it. Or you organise a fun day event, or, you know, you take over the village fete and you send all the people scurrying, worrying about what they're doing. We've always done it this way. So it was any ideas like that. Only a few of you live in the villages. About 80 or 90% of you actually live in the towns, and particularly in Haywards Heath, about 80-odd percent. So I know there's not a lot of opportunity, and you know who you are who live in the villages, but we really want to try and support some outreach work into those. Yes, Liz. Oh, you put your hand up, sorry. Did you put your hand up when you said Matthew wants to say something else? okay. It just seemed to work so well. I thought, wow, she's in a village. She's putting her hand up.
Christian fox hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have to change the law first. So that could be our engaging with culture and community to change that. Okay. Because not all of you live in villages, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But in plenary, like all together, is there anything anyone wants to say about that as an ambition? Liz! Is it that nervous tick again? Sorry, Liz before Pete, because she's had her hand up twice now. But I will get to you, Pete.
This one's real. I think just thinking, maybe without thinking it through entirely, but thinking that actually there's already things established in the village, and probably to join in with those rather than setting up something new. I think people are quite suspicious, but I think actually to work with Christians who might already know.
That's lovely. Yeah. 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 And we'd really encourage you to put your hand up again and do that. What we're saying, I suppose, from a leadership point of view is, how could we support you to do that rather than just saying, get on with it? You know, it's an ambition that then we've got a kind of, we've got some accountability to say, you said you'd support us in this. This is part of, you know, where you're leading the church. So what does that look like? So we need to develop that. Pete was going to speak next.
Yeah, I just know in Hassex where we are, there's lots of people, we have lots of friends that occasionally come to some of the Christmassy, Eastery things, family focused, like the type things that we could be doing. I know with Mark as well, we're part of the football club in Hassex, there's relationships already there, and there are, it feels like there's like a tentative group.
Brilliant, yeah. And again, what we're trying to say is, let's try and push that actually forward and think about something practical, whether it's once a month or once a term, you know, whether it's in the village hall, whether it is just with your friends, but with some gospel intent rather than just, not just, but moving on from the fact that you've got these brilliant relationships already. There was another hand, Matthews, I think.
I was just saying the football that Cookfield started years ago, Monday nights, that was so effective in Cookfield, especially with dads and women associated with church and families who often got something else, they came along, I think they had people, I don't know, they became Christians, but we do football now, and it's really easy to get people, things that you would do anyway, things you're interested in anyway, it's a really easy way to convert it into something that's gospel focused and you might have a Christian mate.
Okay, that's good.
It does make you think seriously about how can we change this to be something that fits with that ambition, and to say that that's a good thing, to be challenged on that, to start thinking of opportunities to fit it in with the ambition.
Good. That was positive. I think I understood that correctly. That's bought you another 5 negatives. Right, here we go. Number 3. Develop generous resourcing strategies for other gospel churches in our region. Again, it's us trying to be accountable. It may be, as Mark was saying, in that sort of general being generous idea, that we help another church with a holiday Bible club, because we've done quite a lot of them, and there is sacrifice of days and time involved, but actually producing the material and delivering, we've done quite a lot. And have a big team that do our own holiday Bible club. So could we share that in some way? Could there be other ideas of resourcing leaders? There's a number of FIC churches that don't have any full-time leadership at the moment. Could we help them in some way? So we're thinking through that. There's a Filipino church that meets in St. Francis where Percy and Jerissa go. St. Francis Hall, you know, the one on the hospital complex. You know, we're thinking, could we support them in some other way? Are there other churches, international groups meeting in Haworthheath that have kind of people but no leadership? Is there any way we can help in those and elsewhere? So they're the kind of things that we're thinking about. Could be a music workshop. Could be they need financial help. Could there be they need some other sort of logistical support of some kind. Right, I'm going to give you a bit of time on the next one when we get to it. How can we help other churches grow? That was number 4. Plant a church in Crawley, Brighton, or elsewhere in partnership with other churches. We'd love to see a both and outcome over the next few years. That it's not a choice between shall we just continue to grow or shall we plant a church. We'd love to see under God that the church continues to grow and we plant a church. That's what we would love to do. Churches can rebirth themselves and can innovate, particularly as new leaderships or as new leaders come on board and new ideas and new people and so forth. church plants have a way of kind of accelerating that with new generations, new people, sometimes reaching completely different communities, either ethnically or geographically, often have good ideas, less traditional, and can have a very positive impact on the church that sends them. So there are values and usefulness about planting a church that is more than just the church here growing and growing. You know, Antioch, for example, in the book of Acts, it becomes a great sending church, but by all accounts, it was a great growing church as well. It continued to grow. There were thousands of Christians in Antioch reported a couple of hundred years later. So the church in Antioch continued to grow. It became very significant in the history of of Christianity. So it didn't, by sending, say, well, we're going to send loads of people and we just want to stay the same size. They grew and they sent. There was a time of preparing for that. If you think about it, in the book of Acts, a couple of years, Paul and Barnabas were there teaching. There was a time of consolidation and growth in the church. Then there was a time of sending out. And we see that we need a little bit more of the consolidating and growing where we are. But we also want to have an ambition to plant. We want to learn from our experiences in the past. We've been involved in supporting some churches. We've been involved, obviously, in Holbrook and in Hurstpier Point, and before that in Slapham. And all of those have been mixed experiences, to be honest. And we trust under God that we'll have learned some of the lessons from those plants that we could put into practice in the future. Just being realistic about the area and our own resourcing, we're thinking this is something we'd want to do in conjunction with maybe one or two other churches, but we're open to how the Lord leads on that. So what we practically need is a team to look at kind of feasibility of that, work on demographics and areas, maybe walk around places, look at resources available and those sort of things. So that's what it'll eventually lead to in terms of wanting to plant a church. So why don't you give yourself 2 or 3 minutes just in little gatherings, as you were just now, to say, good ambition, bad ambition, what's the implications? Okay, let's draw together, look this way. Can I have is the mic on? It is. Don't do that, I know you're supposed to tap mics or blow in them. Okay. Good ambition, bad ambition?
Good.
Okay. Outcomes, impact, any thoughts?
Crawley, not Brighton,
for what reason?
Everything's better about Crawley, not Brighton. It's bigger. It's not got any churches, but Brighton has some churches.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting feedback. It's got a more diverse population than Brighton. Quite possibly, yeah. A much bigger Pakistani population in Crawley. Yeah. Bethan?
I think Crawley and Brighton are too far-reaching. I think as a group of Christians already in Hassocks, then surely in a house church in Hassocks is the next step up, meeting people where they are. People who don't want to travel to
Haverfield
Church won't want to travel to Brighton Church,
either. Sure. Yeah. I don't want to defend that, but simply to say it could be a both and. It could be out of these villages something grows that is a house church or something. We chose those as being a reasonable distance, but being both strategic towns that would be different and would involve quite a lot of cost for people. We chose wanting to do it in partnership with other churches because the sacrifice might be quite considerable for people moving and changing, and that may need to be shared. So, yeah. But I take the feedback. Yeah, Nathan?
Are there other churches who have a similar ambition that you already have talked to, or is that something that we need to
know? In general, for example, the Sussex Gospel Partnership are seeking to facilitate and encourage church plants in those kind of areas, and that includes other churches, some of whom we could more easily plant with, some of whom it's a bit more complex, perhaps because of the way they do church. Yeah, that's the short answer. I don't know if, Nick, you want to add anything to that point? No. It's generally, there's no churches that would complain necessarily, unless we parked our bus right in front of Calvary in Brighton or something and encourage people to come in the bus rather than going to Calvary. You know, there's 300,000 people in Brighton, lots of opportunity. Emma. Yeah, that's not dumb, but we really make it clear. What we said when we kind of talked earlier this year was that we don't think it's right to do a church plant now. In the next 10 years. In the next 10 years. So we would hope for it to take less than 10 years, but we're talking a considerable length project with a lot of gathering together. So yeah. That's what we're trying to say. We were trying to say not now. Now, are there other people who want to... We haven't had many on this side of the room said very much. Yes, Pam. Sure. The question was, had we learned any lessons from Holbrook? The answer is, I don't fully know. We've... have thoughts on what we experienced at Holbrook, which we trust. We helped plant a church there with mostly people who were members of this church at the time, although they were living in Horsham. That was the nuclear kind of group that started this church in Holbrook in Horsham. The church existed for, Stephen would have to help me, 15, 20 years?
17.
17 years. And actually saw people converted and grow in faith and grow in gifting. My brother Stephen, who was speaking earlier, was involved in that church as a leader. Due to a whole set of circumstances, in the end, it kind of ground to a halt. A number of people left, a key leader left, and there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm amongst the one or two or three younger couples who were in the church to kind of keep going and be really committed to it. So Stephen had to take the decision for that church to close. I think it's probably unfair on Stephen and unfair on you to kind of list out here are all the reasons why it didn't work out. But we've tried to reflect on that and to think about, did we start with the right expectation? Did we start with the right team? Did, what mistakes did we make along the way? So... yeah, but we tried to think about that. Les, your hand is up.
Well, I'm anxious to say just a couple of things. I think that we must be very careful that we think the church should continue forever.
Yeah.
And great good was accomplished under God in Holbrook.
Yeah.
Because people were converted, and God, in His sovereignty, brought that work to an end by uncomfortable providence. That's from God's perspective. So there are learnings, because there were things that we now would have done differently if we had our time over. And we, of course, are very conscious of that as a leadership. I was really very involved at the beginnings of that, through the pain of that. But through that pain of the birth of that child, God brought much good. And actually, this idea that somehow a church should continue forever is just not a New Testament perspective. The church will, but not a particular church, and church history teaches us that. So we just need to be careful about success, failure, kind of ideas here.
Absolutely. Just forgive me if I did say the word failure or anything else. I just talked about lessons.
I just concerned that a view isn't being promulgated by what's not said as well as what's said, that somehow it was a mess.
Yeah, good point. Caroline and then Philip.
I just wanted to say I'm really glad that we've got that as one of our ambitions, because when you talk about planting a church, I think it's really, really scary, and I think a lot of us are just very, very comfortable in what we've got, so instinctively we would go for the, I don't want to do that, I like everything to stay the same. But I think it's really good, because I think God's growing us for a reason, and I think that is potentially something that He wants us to do, and the fact that you've got it in a long-term ambition gives God time to work in our very simple hearts. For people like me that don't like change, He'll work on that, and we should be open to that. And so I think that that's fantastic, and it's something that we should all be in prayer about.
Thank you very much. If it helps, probably the areas where we learn the most is to do with how you start. That's which even helps also because it helps you think about not considering anything that worked out from that a failure. But probably the most lessons we learn was how you start, who with, what expectations, and kind of leadership and everything from the very, very start. It's probably the area that we most want to think about if we do anything like that in the future. Philip.
Is there a church in Antioch? We don't know.
No.
But we should rather look forward than look backwards. Look for learning the lessons, but let's rather look forward.
Yeah.
At God's church, you will go.
Sure.
But we need to be involved.
Yeah. No, no, that's reinforcing the point Les made in a sense. I don't know if there's still a church in Antioch, but certainly a number of those key strategic churches in Turkey and Asia are no longer there or are no longer strategic and significant anymore. And anybody on this side of the room left? Nick?
It's probably also just worth saying that there are many more resources available in terms of wisdom, experience, advice, books on yeah. church planting than there were 17 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago, which we would be able to draw upon and benefit not just from our own experience but from the wisdom of others and experience of others.
Yeah. Yeah. Matthew, you can say something for about a minute or so because I want to move on to the next point.
It's back to the Greek point.
Sure.
So one thing was that it's mission, so you're uprooting your life to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's a big commitment for anybody. Another one was.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well,
just an observation.
The reality of it, yeah. It's a big thing to shift your family yeah. to whoever moves somewhere, but it has to be kind of an uprooting to go.
Yeah.
So think seriously about it. Oh yeah, the Squat Church is a big thing for those who go. And then there was the resource in the church. You have to be careful that you're not stripping the church that goes of its 18 Christians and leaving it. And another point would be, it's not as if you're falling over Christians in Haven Seas, even if you do bump into everyone in the church and say something. It's a place that needs mission for a long time. Like, you don't need to leave. It's just as bad as Crawley.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not suggesting leaving Haven's Heath.
So don't worry, we've got mission to do in Haven's Heath before we need to worry about church plant.
Agree that. Mark, Claire, Nick.
Sorry, I object.
We'll answer it first and then we'll go to Mark. Do you want to object?
To what Matthew just said.
Oh, well, you go first then, Mark, because you might be able to disagree better. Shh, hold on, Mark, Matthew.
The thing is that you don't send, you send your best people.
Yeah.
You send your most gifted.
Yes.
That's what Paul and Silas were not kind of deficient. They you send your best people.
Absolutely. The really helpful lesson to think about, Jerusalem sent Barnabas, brilliant bloke. At a key moment to Antioch. Antioch send Paul and Barnabas, two brilliant blokes, at a key moment. Bear in mind also, though, Antioch have had that period of consolidation and there are three other leaders there. So you do send your good people, but you don't send all your people. So that's the balance and that's what we felt about where the church was at this point, the now answer to church planting, that we weren't ready in terms of our own thoughts, in terms of leadership and resourcing, that would not be right. But we do want to build up to a point where we are. And when we do, we want to send good people. Not the awkward people that we want to get rid of. like me. There was a hand over here that I ignored. It wasn't Pam, it was someone else. There were three that came. It was Claire. It was Claire. No, it is interesting to reflect, though, on how churches die. Lots of churches that have had thriving children's works often die if there hasn't been a core of teaching and reforming in the kind of middle of the church. They can have thriving children's work. The people grow old who are doing the children's work. There's nothing filling out, so they tend to hollow out. And then all you end up with is a few old people doing children's work. That's not uncommon. Particularly Brethren churches that have been through that phase and often close. It's instructive to just ponder on that and to think, well, what was missing? Because they're faithful people who love Jesus. You know, what do they not quite do right? We've got 5 minutes left. So, Pam, if you have a brief point to make.
I was thinking, focusing on the planting in partnership with other churches, how important it is, and obviously we think about this, but having been part of Humboldt as well, how key it is that whoever is involved has a common vision and is able to work together, that is essential. So there'll be enough battles from outside without having battles from within.
Yes. No. It's probably easier to just list, to do with Hurstpier Point, that we were involved with Cookfield Church in trying to revitalise the church in Hurstpier Point, which is still going and under God may flourish in the future, but has struggled a lot. There were really kind of four groups of people in a way. There was Cookfield Church, Christ Church, the people who left to go to that church plant, and the people existing in that church. So that's four groups of people to have a common vision. You know, and lessons learned may have been about, you know, how do we shape that vision? Who do we send? What do we do? All those things that will be useful. Right, brilliant discussion. We're going to do the last point. There we go. Aim, ambition, number five, is that we want to commission 5 full-time gospel workers to the UK and worldwide. We're not limiting God, but we wanted to put a number in because some full-time workers didn't seem to focus us in quite the same way. And we would love to see people go into Christian work, cross-cultural in the UK, cross-cultural across borders. And we're just putting a number on it to give us, to focus our actions, to think, what do we do to facilitate that? So if you want to go on a mission trip with a view to working for a few years or for the rest of your life cross-culturally, then we'd love to find out how we could help you do that. If you want opportunities to test calling and gifting, we're trying to do that now with people. If you want to talk about, well, I'd like to go into this kind of ministry or that kind of ministry, we'd love to support you in that. This is not something new. We've obviously supported a number of people, like a while ago now, Nathan Howard and then Peter Jolly, and then more recently have been encouraging Daniel in what he's been doing, Daniel Woodfield. So it's not like this is left of field, but we particularly thinking about cross-cultural mission, which is why we said the UK and worldwide. It's been a while. And you know what? Our kinds of churches actually don't send very many people. We end up supporting people who've been sent from other kinds of churches. And there's probably something to address there. You know, why in the last few years has no one from this church felt a call to go and minister somewhere abroad long term? It's just worth asking the question. And so that's what we're trying to do. Right, any immediate comments in together? Because we've got about 2 or 3 minutes. Philip.
I believe that the golden thread that should tie all this together is the gospel itself.
Yeah.
My question is, do we understand the gospel? Are we clear? Do we understand it fully? Do we understand the right gospel? Is this what is being, is this something we can put into the teaching? I'm just saying from my perspective, I took a number of times before I started clearly hearing the gospel myself. In our evangelism, are we putting that proper gospel across? Because faith comes through hearing, and of course the power of God.
Yes.
So
well,
we've got to project the right thing across.
It's a fair question and one we need to keep asking. What's the main thing, and are we making the main thing the main thing? So that's helpful. Any other quick comments while you get ready for dinner, and you can all have a race?
I try to say I'm really excited. I'm like pretty on. I think this is
good.
Really
good. That's positive. Amanda. Yeah.
Just like 10 days to Romania and to the Czech Republic. They were brilliant as a teenager, opening my eyes to the world and what's really in different places.
Okay. No, that's helpful. And we want to encourage that. Now, I'm going to stop so we keep to time. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. Just to say, it's been a really helpful discussion. Although I was joking around with Matthew about negative and positive, there are negative ways of saying things, but in terms of, you know, expressing an opinion, There's no such thing as a negative comment, really. You're expressing what you feel, and we love to hear that. We're that kind of church. We want to keep that culture even as we grow, that we can speak openly, that we respect one another. We've heard a lot as elders to reflect on, and it's been really useful. We've tried to explain why we've gone for particular wordings, numbers here, specifics there, obviously, we're always in the process of reforming and reflecting, so it's been useful to hear that. If you've got other things to say that you didn't have the opportunity to say, then please do talk to us. Please do scribble something on one of these boards. We've got a poster with those five on as well that I'll put up, so if you want to make any comments on that, you can do that too.